broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch. And even if we're on tape.
Still, truth is our bitch.
Exactly, bud. Thank you very much. But we're live tonight, back live with you here from the El Pacifico, from our studios here at the El Pacifico in Southern California, all over the country. We're very happy to be with you. And a pleasant good evening or good morning to you. Tonight we're going to have Margaret Gray joining us, the writer for the Dicklin Syndicate. She writes A Little Bird Told Me, and we're going to talk about traveling with her son, Jason J. Delmonico, to a performing arts school this weekend in the Bay Area, and the trip that she and other mothers have made between Southern California and up there, and what they've encountered on the roads, particularly Interstate 5, what they have encountered as women driving cars and dealing with truck drivers. We're going to talk with her about that, believe it or not, in just a few minutes. David G. Hall will join us later in the program, and we will discuss a little more at length the work that I did last week, and I apologize for being away from you, but I was doing a television show called New Girl. It's on Fox, and I did a couple of stunts, and I wrecked my shoulder, and I feel like such a man. So
yeah, man. Well, you said you jumped out of a car?
No, I didn't. It's not as heavy as you think it sounds, Robert. We'll get into that. Our number here is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. And we're also online at philhendryshow.com. That's the World Wide Web headquarters of the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Now, what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to go over there and get a backstage pass and check out our video cast and listen to our thousands of hours of archives. And contribute, if you will, during our in our news feed, and avail yourself of our daily podcast, as well as do some voting for your favorite Ted Bell bit. We'll tell you all about that later on in the program. Joining us, though, from Santa Monica, California, we're going to talk a little bit about the trip that she'll be making this weekend with her son, Jason J. Delmonico, up to Merbrook. First of all, congratulations on that. I know it's a big step for him. In his education, Margaret, I know he is a young aspiring actor. He's a young man who's been involved in the arts. I know it's a prestigious school, so congratulations.
Well, I thank you very much, Phil. We're excited about that. From the standpoint that we really didn't know whether Jason was going to qualify for that school. It's very, as you mentioned, it's very a preeminent school. And one of the reasons why I got into the topic that we're going to discuss this evening is that Kathy Ellison is a very dear friend of mine. Her son went to Merbrook. He's now going to San Francisco State. And she's made this drive many times. Now, I don't know how often single mothers or single women are traveling great distances, and I know that this really it's not just confined to me.
Right, because what we're talking about here are women in cars by themselves.
Well, you don't have to necessarily be by yourself. I'll be traveling with my son. You could very well be with a husband. But when you are sitting in the front seat of a car, and particularly if it is the summertime, or if you are traveling on a very warm day, or you are traveling for whatever reason, you're traveling in a skirt or a short kind of a skirt or dress, what these truck drivers do, some of them, and I'm not saying all of them, but a significant number of them, will drive next to a car with a single woman in it, and they will slow up and peer down through the windshield or through whatever glass is, visibility they have from the perspective of this truck cab.
So you're talking about the truckers that are in these tractor trailers, correct?
Well, I don't know the terminology, but
when you say these elevated cabs,
yes, exactly.
All right, and they're pulling up next to, on the freeways or on the interstates, next to cars being driven by women.
Well, they're either being driven by the woman, or there is a woman sitting in the passenger seat in the front seat. It affords the truck driver better visibility if he's looking through the windshield, looking down and through the windshield. This is, I think it's childish. I think that it's potentially very dangerous. I think it is very intimidating. I know for myself, And I'll be traveling with my son this week. It gives me a pause, and it does cause me a little bit of concern, because it has been warm in California. I am going to be traveling in a skirt and a blouse that I bought for the trip. It's not a mini skirt, but it's a short skirt. And when you're driving, Phil, a lot of women are going to have that skirt riding above their knees, in order that you have an unobstructed access to the gas pedal.
All right, and all of that is understood. But I think what you're telling me is, so you're driving and you have truck drivers that are looking down into the front seat of the car, hoping to see what?
Well, that's just it. They're hoping to see a woman who has a skirt on that is perhaps pulled up a little too high. Truck drivers refer to this as a seat cover. That's what they call women that are driving their cars or sitting shotgun. And their skirts have been, because they're looking for a level of comfort, because they want a level of ease in driving the automobile, because it is a warm day, because the interior of the car is warm, for whatever reason, a woman will have her dress or her skirt riding above her knees. And the truckers, Phil, are driving next to the cars, and they're looking down to see if they can catch a view of a woman whose skirt is riding too high. I want women to be aware of this. And
well, okay, but not to interrupt you, Margaret. We're talking to Margaret Gray here. Our number is 877-876-7445. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but do you not think that this is something that women already know?
Well, it wasn't anything that I knew. And I can tell you, no, I don't think it is. I think the women that are aware of this, they might be women that have been out on the road as saleswomen. They may be women that think it's funny. I think there's some women that they may get some kind of enjoyment out of showing off for these truck drivers. It, for me, Phil, it's a little frightening.
Why does it frighten you?
Well,
I mean, I understand how you would be concerned. You're driving with your son.
Well, that's just it. I've got my son sitting next to me, and I fear for him. I don't know if you have a truck driver out there who looks down into a woman's car. He sees a woman and a boy traveling alone, and he gets whatever feeling he gets when he sees you. You've got your skirt up above your knees. And
well, let me ask you something.
You have your skirt above your knees, and he's looking down, and he's getting very interested. I don't know how interested.
Well, let me ask you something. You're not sitting in the car with your son with your skirt riding above your knees, are you?
No, of course. You're not, but it's not the same thing. You're not sitting there with your son, but by the same token, he's my son. He's not some man. He's my son, and it's not the same thing. If I'm warm and I'm driving a car and the interior of the car is warm and maybe the air conditioner is not something, I don't like to use the air conditioner, Phil, because obviously it cuts down on the miles per gallon.
Okay.
So I am sitting in the car and I am warm, so I'm going to pull my skirt up. And
well, how far above your knees are you pulling your skirt? And keep in mind, we're talking about your son is where? Is he sitting next to you?
This is not about my son, Phil. It's about these truck drivers that intimidate and frighten some women by leering through the windshield.
No, I understand that, and I want to get, and that is the point of this hour, Margaret. I understand that, but or at least of your comments. But I just want to be clear: if you're driving and you're driving a long distance, you're not using the air, so it's warm in the car, and I understand that. Well, you're pulling your skirt above your knees because you want to get some because it's hot.
Yes.
All right. Your son is sitting next to you, and I'm simply asking you, how far above your knees are you going to pull your skirt anyway? Even if there is a truck driver who's driving next to you and is looking down through the windshield.
Well, Phil, he is my son. He's not a man that I am fearful might attack me or otherwise have that kind of a prurient, leering interest. He's my son, and he is going to a performing arts high school. So I don't quite understand the nature of your question.
Can I ask you, if you got your son sitting next to you, how far above your knees are you pulling your skirt?
I am pulling. I think that your question's a little inappropriate.
Why is that? I mean, I just want to know.
Well, think about it. Why would you ask a question like that?
The reason why I'm asking the question is because you're not going to pull. I would not think you would pull your skirt that high above your knees if you've already got your son in the car.
We're not talking about that.
All right, I'm sorry. If I'm misunderstanding, I apologize. Okay,
We're talking about a truck driver that has been out on the road, that has been traveling for days, perhaps, that has been away from the company of his wife or his girlfriend or whomever, and has now spotted what he calls a seat cover. He pulls up next to your car, and there is some anticipation on his part, and he's looking down through the windshield, and you have your skirt above your knees. You're trying to get some air because it is very, very warm.
And the skirt is where?
Well, if I'm trying to get air, many times you can ask any woman, you could have your skirt as high, it could be up to the edge of your thighs. In other words, at the right at the beginning of your legs and where your trunk and your legs meet.
And all right, so in other words, you're exposing your undergarment.
Yes, you would be exposing an undergarment. In my case, I don't, because of the heat. And again, I need to tell you something, Phil, because I think you're really going in the wrong direction here. I love my son very, very much. He is my son. He's not my lover. And so you need to understand, when I say that I don't wear underwear or I don't wear an undergarment, and I may have my skirt pulled above my thighs, my son is not who I'm worried about. It's the truck driver that comes by, glances once, glances back at the road, and then he gets that awareness of, oh, my God. You know, whatever they, you know, a seat cover. Oh, my God, look at that. And then looks back and begins to leer at me through the windshield.
All right, but you are telling me something that I think is going to have a lot of people shocked.
Well, Phil, I'm not interested in other people.
Well, you're telling me that you don't wear underwear, that you've got your skirt pulled up above your thighs, and that you are driving with your son. You don't want the truck driver to see this, but your son is looking at it.
I will tell you this right now. I'm only going to tell you this once. My son is not looking at anything. He's got his eyes on the road. And if my son were to glance over, even to talk to me, in the hopes that he's going to get some kind of a quick thrill, I can tell you this much, corporal punishment is the least of his worries. So I don't want you to worry about that.
All right, Margaret, I'm going to take a break here. We'll be right back.
I think you're misunderstanding a lot of what we're saying, and I look forward to clarifying some of this.
All right, that's fine. Our number is 877-876-7445. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show here. And we're talking with Margaret Gray about the propensity of some men and women who drive trucks to look down through the windshield of a passing car and try to get a look at a woman who may be wearing her skirt, riding her skirt up a little too high on her thighs. 877-876-7445. World famous Phil Henry Show. Will be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry Show.
I understand. Margaret Gray joins us here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. You know, driving Interstate 5 or any interstate in this country, there's a lot of trucks. There's a lot of truck traffic, and God bless our truck drivers, because they're the ones. They're hauling the freight. They're taking it across the country.
Well, Phil, an attitude, and I've heard this before, God bless our truck drivers.
But the point that I'm making here is I just wanted to, I'm going to let you say what you want to say, Margaret. We have some people who would like to talk to you, including some truck drivers. But I'm just saying, truckers are doing a vital job. Now, I agree that if they're scaring you, but I've got a couple of questions. You have on a skirt that you're not wearing any panties, and you've got your son sitting next to you.
Yes. And what seems to be the problem with that? Because you think my son is going to turn and try to and take a shot and see if he can get a look. I have news for you. My son keeps his eyes on the road, straight ahead, 360 miles between Los Angeles and San Francisco. And I don't care if I have my skirt pulled up over my shoulders. That's where his eyes are. As it is, it's a hot day. I'm trying to get some air. And a truck driver pulling up next to me and looking down through the windshield to see if he can get some kind of a quick look. I think it's disgusting. I really do.
And All right. I will tell you that I'm having a hard time with your description of where your son is. Our number, 877-876-PHIL. Here is Blake on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Blake.
Hey, how's it going, Phil?
Fine.
How you doing, Phil?
I'm going to say it again, and then I'm going to hang up, okay? Fine.
Fine.
Now, what do you want,
Fine.
Man? Okay, let's go over to our next caller. Here's Joe. Go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Is this Joe? Yeah.
Hi. If Daddy is so worried about, you know, being seen by truck drivers, why doesn't just she stay home, you know, or ride a bike?
Well, I'm not going to stay home. That's ridiculous. I have a right to drive a car, and I have a right to drive the car with my son and not be looked at by a trucker who could very well have something else on his mind. Do you drive a truck? Let me ask a better question. Do you have a wife?
Yeah.
All right. Is she good-looking enough for another man to want to look at?
Hey, I'm not worried about that. I'm not jealous.
Oh, so you don't mind a man looking up your wife's dress. That's very weird.
Hey,
and I can tell you, I beg your pardon?
Looking for free.
So you don't mind a man looking at your wife like that? Well, I can tell you that's very unusual. I think most men would probably want to protect their wives.
From what? From looks?
From someone like you, for instance. I wouldn't want you anywhere near me. You don't sound like a man who understands women at all. I'd be frightened of any man that was staring up my dress at me. And I would want to do something about that at the next truck stop when I saw you parked, maybe getting gasoline.
Well, what does that mean?
I don't know.
Hey, you're the one that's riding with me stirred up around your neck.
And you're the one, well, why are you looking?
Well, what does it mean you...
Why are you looking? Are you that hard up?
No, I'm not looking that hard up.
Look, I know that I am, what do men say? I know that I'm tasty to look at. I know that. I have to live with that. Every day of my life, I have to live with that. That men look at me. All right, okay, I get it. But when I'm driving and I have my skirt up because I'm trying to get some air and...
No panties, isn't that right?
Who's this?
Phil Hendry.
Oh, yeah, no, no panties.
All right, so there's no underwear. Your son is sitting next to you.
My son's eyes are dead ahead, and that's where I want this man's eyes. This man, Joe, is that your name?
Yes, ma'am.
You keep your eyes on the road, Joe, and you keep them off of me, and you and I are going to get along real good. You and I are going to get along real good.
I want to ask you something, Margaret. What do you mean about you catch up to him at the truck stop?
If I saw Joe staring at my you-know-what, and then I saw his truck at a truck stop, I'd pull over. And I'll let you figure out the rest. I'll let you figure that out. I'll let you figure that out. I'd really like to know what you think is so funny.
I don't know. I'll let Joe figure that out. What are you going to do? If he's inside getting a cup of coffee, you going to drop a match in his gas tank?
That's a good idea.
Yeah, that's real smart, Margaret. That's real great. The guy's looking up your dress, and you're going to blow his truck to hell and back.
Yeah. That's something for Joe to think about.
All right, look, Joe, thanks for your call, sir. I appreciate it. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. I really feel that you haven't addressed the question of your son.
You know, I would like to talk to some women, please, if it's all right with you, because Women are the ones that are subjected to this kind of behavior every day. Driving down the road, your skirt is above your knees, and here comes Joe or whoever, and he wants to get... This is his lucky day. He's going to get himself a little eye full of gold.
All right, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.
It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show here every night from the El Pacifico. Our number, 877-876-PHIL. With us is Margaret Gray from the Dicklin Syndicate. She writes a weekly column, A Little Bird Told Me, and is traveling north with her son this weekend to the Mirbrook Performing Arts School in San Francisco, which, again, congratulations to Jason. It's a great honor.
We're very excited for Phil.
And I know that you've... written a lot of different articles concerning a lot of different things. I didn't think that the occasion of your son being admitted to this great school would be about truck drivers staring at women. But now you say that your friend, Miss Ellison, right?
Sherry Ellison's a very dear friend of ours where Jason goes to school. Her son is a few years ahead of Jason. Her son is a freshman at San Francisco State. And I can tell you that Sherry has had this problem. She told me one of the road trips that she took with Blake, who is her husband. And she is sitting shotgun. And these truck drivers will slow up and try to get a look. If you are sitting there and you are changing your... You know, this is very difficult. A lot of people won't understand this. Women will understand this. If you're changing your feminine napkin, if...
All right, okay, we don't need to talk about that.
Well, I'm giving you examples of what you have to get on your knees. You are looking in the back seat. You're not wearing pants. These truckers are almost a different kind of man. They behave as if they've never seen a female in their lives. So that when they see any woman at all engaged in something normal... To them, it is a pornographic film.
If a woman has no pants on, leaning over the front seat into the back seat to get something, that's a pornographic film, whether you like it or not.
That is a woman who is trying to take care of a health need, Phil. Are you trying to tell me that men don't know the difference?
Men don't know the men know the difference. I don't think from a truck a man's going to know the difference. But again, we have this question. You're going down the road with your son. Now, I know you've said that if your son turned and looked at you...
No, not looked at me. If I saw Jason turn and look down between my legs and a smile came across his face, I'm telling you right now, I don't care if he's going to a performing arts school for acting, I would knock teeth out of that beautiful face of his. And I love my son, but I would make sure that he lost teeth. And that car, by the way, would turn right around and come right back home.
I'm telling you that it is a bizarre situation or scene that you're painting here of you driving, no panties, and...
When did we start taking the trucker's point of view here, Phil?
Well, let me just get some calls. To me, it sounds as if you're inviting trouble here. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Here is Joe on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, I got pulled over coming out of San Jose just a few weeks ago. I got pulled over just by a lady, kind of like her. She had a Bud Light right in between her legs, and the 12-pack was right next to her, and it was not my fault. She pulled me over. She was actually looking into a truck driver. But luckily...
I don't know. What are you talking about? You got pulled over. How do you get pulled over by a woman? I don't understand. How does that happen?
Well, I was just like you. I was looking out, getting fresh air, and guess what I see? I saw more than what I expected.
But what did you? What do you mean you got pulled over?
She signaled me over. She got me out to kind of to park after the shoulder in the freeway coming out of San Jose. And she was wearing a miniskirt way up.
Well, I don't understand why you're leering at that. When you say she pulled you over, were you expecting her to perform sex for money? Was she a prostitute?
No, what I'm saying is that there's a lot of ladies just like you that want to drive on the freeway and show more than what we need to see.
No, I beg your pardon. I'm not out there, Joe, running cold air between my legs so Joe can get an eyeful on his way to drop off the whatever you're dumping off.
Well, we're just looking out to get fresh air, and we don't need to see.
Here's where I'm having my problem, Joe. As I listen to you talk, I can hear you almost laughing. You're going, well, we're almost. You see, you're laughing, aren't you?
And of course, look, we all.
Well, I can hear you. You've got a
speed.
Joe sounds like a happy guy. Are you a happy man, Joe? You sound like a happy man to me.
Look,
here we go.
Car speed do not match. I'm driving a 55, and you can go 75 in California freeway. So you can just drive, and you forget about truckers. If they look at you, they're fine. If they don't, your speed is 20 miles. Your speed is 20 miles faster than my speed.
You are telling me, yes, but you're telling me that you lean out the window to get air, and the sound in your voice is almost like, hey, you don't want to show me what you got. And I find that very offensive.
But I can drive a truck with 20 tons of
meat. Let me say it for you, Joe. Joe, you made a very good point. Joe is saying that the truck is going to go a certain speed. You can go around him.
Well, that is not the case because these trucks come up from behind, okay? They catch you. I'm not going to break the speed limit. And if I do, if I have to go excessive speed, then I'm jeopardizing myself and my son. I know what he's saying, but these trucks come up from behind. There's Joe leaning out the window, getting his air, as he puts it, and what he's really doing is leering down at me through my windshield with that little light lifting laugh going, hoo-hoo-hoo. And I find it to be a little bit...
And you know what? We call out each other, huh? We call the
you do.
Because everybody for the following 20 miles ahead of me knows the good and the bad-looking lady right next to us because we're communicating to each other. So in other words,
you are telling these other animals, excuse me for saying this, but that's what you're telling every animal in a 20-mile radius.
The California Highway Patrol hears everything, too, so he knows what's going on.
Well, I'm not worried about a highway patrolman because he's not in an elevated truck. I'm good-looking. I know that about myself. I have to put up with that.
You're riding down the road. All right, Joe, that very good call, Joe, and you made some very good points.
I thought it was a typical piece of male bonding where you and Joe were going, hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo, and the two of you thought it was very funny. I don't, because I've got wind that I need to get up there. Well.
Joe, thanks for your call. And drive carefully, man. Thank you very much, sir. Our number is 877-876-PHIL.
May I ask you something?
Go ahead.
Why did you go, why did you make that noise?
Well, Margaret, I, again, you are not, you're not taking into consideration the idea that your own son is driving with you, sitting next to you in that car, and you with no underwear. Here's Tony on the Phil Henry Show. Tony, go ahead, please.
Hey, Margaret, I got a good question.
I've explained that.
If they come up from behind you, how can we see? Because, matter of fact, if you think about it, if you go sit in the back, in the truck, you cannot look on the passenger side. So what lane are you in, the left lane or the right lane?
I can tell you right now, if I'm in the left lane and a truck comes up behind me on the right side, he may be going faster than me.
Why don't you just get in the right lane like you're supposed to?
I am...
Yeah, that's true. That's not a passing lane.
Well, right. whatever. But the point is, the man comes up next to me.
You don't know what you're talking about, lady.
I know that these animals, these truck drivers, want to get an eyeful, and they want to get an eyeful of what I got. And I'm with my own son.
Okay,
my
like I said, driving the right lane, if you're not passing somebody, stay in the right lane. And I guarantee you, we can't see you off the right side.
Well, Joe, what you're talking about is a rule of the road, which thank you for bringing it up. It's a rule of the road that 99% of all drivers don't adhere to, do they? And
what are you talking about?
You're not supposed to be in the far left lane sitting on just sitting at 55 or 60. You got to get out of the way if there's someone behind you.
Well, I don't know what you, either one of you, I don't think you know what you're talking about.
No, he knows exactly what he's talking about. He's a truck driver.
Well, I am in, if the man, I'm just trying to tell you, you asked me a question, I'm going to answer it. If the man comes up on my right side, all he has to do is edge in front of me a little bit, and he can look back through my windshield, and he's looking at...
Well, you lucky, because I'll get up on your bumper, and I'm usually flashy, and I get enough to where you can't even see nothing but the grill. So once you do your legal obligation, stay in the right lane unless you're passing somebody, and you won't get peeped at. Point blank, because you cannot see off the right side. No, just woman, you don't know what you're talking about.
I'll tell you this right now. First of all, when you hit those brights, and basically anyone in front of me is looking back and seeing an X-ray skeleton of my skull. That's how bright these trucks are, Phil. Did you know that?
What are you talking about?
If you put these brights on behind me, it is so bright, it's an X-ray of your skull.
Oh, it's not that bright, for God's sake. You know, the man...
Well, I'm telling you it is. Now, if he comes... I don't know what he's telling me.
He's saying get over in the right lane. If he passes you on the left, he's in the far left of the cab driving. That's where the wheel is. How is he going to look through that cab and then down
at you?
I'll tell you how. Have you ever heard of mirrors?
Go ride it for a week. You go drive one for a week and do what I said. I guarantee you make a bull crap.
Are you telling me you don't have that fisheye mirror? You have the fisheye mirror that looks right down.
Oh, hockey does not.
It only does a
side of my trailer. Unless you're under my trailer, that's the only way I can see you. You know, you have blind side.
All right. Well, I will say this to you. If that's what you're telling me is true, then you're one rare man. Because most men will adjust that.
You won't get picked. You won't get big.
They will adjust. They adjust the mirror.
No, you can't adjust the mirror, lady. That little thing is stained. There's a blind side.
Do you know what EMD? Do you know what EMD is? You've heard the term EMD.
Yeah. And you know, little sign says you beware, like on back of a trailer, you're in my blind spot. That means if you're there,
I understand that.
And you EMD still cannot.
Hold on. What is EMD?
Early morning dew. That's what the truckers call it when they angle that mirror down, and it is like a microscope right up your, you know what. I'm really resentful of the laughter. I really am.
Well, I've not heard these terms. I thank you very much, sir. Tony, thanks very much.
Thank you.
And thank you for reminding us that we got to get our asses out of that number one lane if there's traffic behind us. I appreciate that. 877-876-PHIL.
What is this, Phil's Traffic School now? I am here talking about myself and my son. We are traveling alone. We are alone on an interstate going through the very central part of California. Now, I don't need to remind you, Phil, that there is Thule fog, that there are remnants of a kind of culture in the Central California area. These are people from Oklahoma. A great many of them gave birth to individuals that went on to become, yes, I'll say it, serial murderers. The freeway killer. The freeway strangler. The skid row strangler. All of them. Where do you think Henry Lee Lucas came from? You got it. Bakersfield. Now, Phil...
Let's just, for a moment, put her on hold. I got to take a break. We'll move on. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Are you a trucker that looks down through the window at women with their, you know, women trying to get a peek? Margaret Gray is on the line with us. She'll be traveling with her son. And she is very put out by what she thinks are truckers that will be targeting her, trying to look down through the windshield up her dress. 877-876-PHIL, the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. are listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Margaret Gray with us as we talk about traveling between, well, just traveling on the interstates. You mentioned your friend Sherry encountered. Now, your friend Sherry is a woman who was also driving her son up north.
Yes, she was driving her son, Blake, up north. Oh, no, she was driving her son, Jamie, up north. Her husband is Blake. I don't know what this means, but she recorded, this was on Interstate 5. It was near Tulare. And go ahead and roll that, Frank. All right, did you hear that?
I heard what sounded like a foghorn, yeah.
Yeah, this is the harassment from these truckers. When they see a woman who has her skirt hiked up over her waist, and she is overweight, and you know, Phil, if you're carrying a lot of weight, it's very warm. So if you could, if you're a woman and you are carrying excess weight, if you could, you would travel with no pants on at all, but you can't do that. Not with these truckers. And this idea that they can just go out into the world without any concern at all. Remember, a lot of these men have daughters and wives, and yet there they are looking down through my windshield and seeing if they can really get a good long look. And let's also remember that they are putting other drivers at risk as they are playing their silly games. Play that again, Frank. Will you please? Playing these silly, that foghorn that you heard.
I don't know what that foghorn is. You say that's harassment?
That was harassment of a woman who is carrying some extra pounds.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Let me go over here to Rita on the phone. Hi, Rita. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Margaret Gray. Go ahead, please.
Hello, Margaret.
Hello.
I used to own an 18-wheeler. My husband.
You're a singer?
And an 18-wheeler.
You're a wheeler? You said you're a singer or a wheeler?
An 18-wheeler, a truck. I owned one. We do not.
Oh, I'm sorry, dear. All right.
The current, yeah. The previous, yeah, man was right. If he's on your left side, he cannot.
Now, did you hear can you hear that, Rita? Because it's very important that you hear that. My friend was driving next to a truck. I don't know the different terms, but the trucker had radioed ahead so that when she came up on another one of these individuals. Are you familiar with that noise, that sound?
Never heard it out of a truck.
Well,
but
I can
I'm telling you, 99.99% of truck drivers are busting their hump to make a living. And even as a female, if I saw you going down the road leaning over the back seat with your naked butt in the air, I'd be staring, wondering what's wrong with that woman.
Well, that is very, very unusual. What do you mean? Why would you be looking at my bare rear end? What is that about?
What you're doing? That's crazy.
Well, I'm doing, Rita, what any woman would be doing. Excuse me for saying this. I'm looking for a tampon. All right?
Why don't you stop at a filling station? I mean, that's what most women do.
Because if you're traveling with a husband and you're married, you know how these men are. And they want to get to XYZ town by sundown, and they're like a bat out of hell, and they're not stopping for anyone or anything. And you are urinating into a bottle.
Oh, you got to be kidding me!
You must have a very rude husband then, because I wouldn't put up with that.
Well, listen, you know, I understand, but I have a very heavy flow, okay? And if I've got to get a tampon,
all right, I don't want to hear this. All right, this is, you know. I personally have to agree with Rita. You know, there's got to be some end. You can't blame truckers for every time that you have no pants on or no underwear on. You can't say that it's their fault that they're staring.
I think they need to be educated to some of the realities. And I have to tell you, I'm very shocked by another woman calling and not taking my side. You know as well as I do, Rita, that it gets warm. Our underwear comes off. We're trying to get some air. Now comes Rita.
No, I do not take my underwear off in the vehicle. I mean, good grief.
Are you kidding? Are you serious?
Truck drivers are filling out logbooks. They got so many hours to be on the road. They got to get their load there. They got to get it delivered.
I've got no doubt they've got to get their load there.
There's a very...
I have to ask you a question, Rita. Your phone broke up. Could you say that? Because you're saying, you're talking about them having to get their log there. No kidding.
Okay, excuse me, Rita, say that again because your phone did break up, and I don't know what you're saying, Margaret.
Did you not hear her say they're trying to get their load there?
Yes. Rita, hang on, and I apologize, your phone was breaking up. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445, world-famous Phil Hendry Show, as we talk about the rules of the road, truck drivers and single women sitting on the front seat there, driving the car with the skirt hiked up above their waist. What is the actual... protocol? 877-876-PHIL, the world famous Phil Hendry Show, live from the El Pacifico. We'll be right back.
Phil Hendry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
It is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch and where we are constantly looking for places to go to that other talk shows would go to, wish they could go to, but they don't go to. Okay, so we have Margaret Gray on the line with us from Santa Monica this evening. We're going to continue with your phone calls and discuss. We also have David Hall coming up in about 20 minutes to discuss my working last week on the TV show New Girl. But with Margaret, this is a discussion of traveling safely on the highways of the United States with truck drivers who may be looking through the windshield of your car to see what they can see if your skirt's riding too high. And I, you know, if there's a safety problem there, Margaret, then I'm certainly willing to hear about it.
Well, Phil, it's more than a safety problem. It is. I think any man who knows that his wife or his daughter is traveling by themselves on the interstates of this country, and while your daughter, your own daughter, is traveling and she may be going somewhere as close as a friend. She may be going to school. She may be traveling to... I remember when Frank's daughter from his first marriage would visit us. We had a cabin at Bass Lake, and she would come up from school to visit us. This is a young woman that is on the highway. She's on the freeway by herself for 3 hours. And I would ask Frank, I would say, do you understand what these truck drivers do? They are going to want to look down through the windshield of your daughter's car to see, number one, is there something there? Number two, if there's something to look at, is it worth looking at for any length of time? And if it's worth looking at for any length of time, maybe he'd like to get to know it better. And I remember Frank looking at me and saying, get to know it. Are you calling my daughter an it? And I said, Frank, you know very well that I love Vicky as if she were my own. I'm not talking about Vicky. I said it. And Frank didn't know what I was talking about. I had to stand because men are not conscious of this. I had to stand up, and I'm, again, Phil, forced to say something that I wouldn't normally say. I had to lift my skirt up and point to it. I said it, meaning this. Are you aware that there are truck drivers out there that may want to get to know it better? And you remember that, Frank?
I remember.
That's what I'm saying. So,
well, are you afraid they're going to pull you over? And
well, you heard that one cackling man. You seemed to think he was okay. He didn't sound right to me.
Who was that?
That Joe who was going. Everything was a riot to him. He said some woman with a case of Bush pulled her over, or pulled him over.
Okay. Now he didn't say. Well,
no, he said she had a case of beer, and I think he said Bush Bavarian.
I don't think they make Busch Bavarian anymore.
Oh, Phil, grow up. I'm talking. He said she had a case of beer. And
well, he might have said Budweiser.
No, he didn't. He said Busch Bavarian beer. Now
they don't even make Busch Bavarian beer anymore. They don't make it.
How do you know?
Because I can tell you, I've looked for it. I've looked for Busch Bavarian beer, and it is not made. Busch makes Busch. They make Busch Light. You know.
Well, then he was being crude. Now I get it. Now I know where he was going. See, again, Phil, you are like Frank, and I think you're like a lot of men. Men don't want to know the filth that is going on out there.
All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL. I'm going to go back to Rita, who was hanging on. Rita, go ahead. If you had any final thoughts, we didn't want to cut you off. You've heard Margaret's comments.
Well, Rita, you know what I'm saying. I know that you don't want to agree because you rely on a man to keep your truck on the road.
Ma'am, that man is dead. I'm no longer on the truck. I don't rely on any man.
What man died? Well, there you go.
My husband.
That's what I mean. Yeah, that's what I mean. Did he die from shock? Because I wouldn't be, you know.
Why don't you? I'm very sorry to hear that, Rita, that you're.
Well, yes, I am too. I apologize. Yes, I apologize. But what did he die from, dear? What?
He got hit in the oil field.
He got bit in an oil field.
Hurt in the oil field.
He got parked in an oil field.
His heart attack in an oil field.
No.
All right.
Injured.
Oh, an engine? She's an engine.
He was injured in an oil field.
I'm sorry. All right. Well, there you go.
My point is, truck drivers are trying to make a living. We deal with DOT. We deal with logbooks. We deal with the hours we get to ride. We have a slower speed than the cars. There's no point in any of this going on. Trying to make
that. I understand that you're a female. I don't think as a woman you're going to be looking out for that. But I can tell you that Frank's daughter Vicky, I said to Frank, I said you've got truckers out there, men who are desperate to get some kind of a look before the sun goes down and they finally make it to where they're going. And Frank said, you know, what are you talking about? And I said, they're taking a look at it. And he said, did you call my daughter an it? I said no, and that's when I had to point to it.
I don't know.
Are you all right? Well, I mean, you don't know what I'm saying. That is my signal to say, wake up. We've got a lot of waking up to do.
All right. Rita, thank you very much for hanging on. And I'm sorry to hear about your husband, and I hope that your life is moving along very well. Thank you. Our number is 877-876-PHIL.
Well, that was very, I think that's a little. Isn't that a little patronizing?
No, that's called polite. That's what we do when someone says that they've lost a loved one. You say to that person, I'm very sorry.
I don't need that kind of lesson from you. I was asking because I'm not familiar with the way you people do these things in talk radio. I thought it was something that you would hear and try to make a joke out of. I don't know.
Well, Margaret, you're the one that is talking about, you know, Frank and his daughter Vicky, and these guys are going to want to take a look at it, and you've made 2 points now of saying that Frank, you had to point to quote it, because Frank didn't know.
Men don't think of it, is what I'm trying to say.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. I'm going to take a phone call here now from Lynn. Hi, Lynn, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Margaret Gray. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Margaret, I just have 4 words for
yes.
you.
Yes.
Like, put on some underwear. That's it.
All right, let's say I put some underwear on.
Yeah.
Let's say I did. Then that's okay? Then you'd be happy.
You're not going to be staring at your giblies to
yes,
slow
they
down
do. They
there.
Stare. They don't care. They're looking to see what they can see.
But didn't that
and
other
if looking at a
say, did they call each other back and forth and say, oh, you know, I saw this and that and the other thing?
That's right. They do.
Well, if they don't see anything, they're not going to be calling back and forth.
They're going. If they see underwear, they make a big deal out of that.
Well, don't hike up your skirt and that high.
I have to. It's too bloody hot in the car. Here's an idea. Why don't we teach our truck drivers to have some manners, to act like gentlemen, and not hang out of a window like that Joe, who sounded to me like he had just He just came over wet. Excuse me for saying.
He said wet?
I don't appreciate that.
Well, I'm sorry, but he
is
saying...
You're the sweet woman.
I beg your pardon? My son, I told you that my son is not going to look at anything or he's going to lose a lot of teeth.
That's insane.
Do you think that's funny?
What is
Do you think that's funny?
Yeah, that you'd smack your kid to knock out his teeth.
If he looked,
probably
has
to
open
the window because of the smell with your skirt.
Oh, aren't you funny? Aren't you funny?
Boy,
what a crude, what a bitch you are! What a crude bitch you are!
Oh, look who's talking.
You really are. You are vile to say something like that.
I put my skirt up next to some little kid.
Really? How do I know?
Like tuna or whatever.
How do I know? How do I know?
You know what?
How do we know you're telling the truth?
Oh, no, yeah.
And you really,
yeah,
I don't even think you've got a son or a husband, because I don't think, if
I
your husband or your, yeah, no wonder, no wonder, no
why?
Wonder. No, what, yeah, why? Because no man would want to be around a woman like you with the manners of some kind of a she thing.
A she thing?
You know what I'd like to do?
Well,
you know what, if you were standing in front of me, you know what you look like to me with your good bag and your bad shoes? You look like a rube.
Uh-oh.
A well-scrubbed hustling rube. Good nutrition's given you length of bone, but you don't look like you're too far removed from three generations of poor white trash. And oh, how the boys found you with all their tired, sticky fumblings in the back seats of cars when all you could think about, Lynn, was getting out, getting anywhere, getting all the way to the FBI.
You have to wash that seat off after you finish sitting on it.
No, you know what?
What?
I'll bet you anything that when you get out of bed in the morning, your husband has to burn the bed.
Oh, yeah, every day there's a bed burning.
That's
just
right.
Crazy. Look,
that's
anyway,
right, Jumbo.
I'm done with you.
All right, Jumbo. Well, listen, Jumbo, it's been great talking to you.
Put on some underwear.
See you, Jumbo.
Okay, so we heard the speech from, that's the first time I've heard that in a while, the speech from Silence of the Lambs. Jumbo and burning sheets, beds, you got it. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show will be right back here, 877-876-PHIL. Still ahead on the program, David G. Hall. We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show.
And that was Catherine Rosedale.
How old was she? Welcome back, folks. Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. I'm talking to Margaret about Catherine Rosedale is who?
Catherine Rosedale, Phil, was a very, very dear woman. She was Ashley Jones' grandmother. I think Sherry knew her. There was a lot of people that knew her. Now, you heard the story that they had to move her from her home, and eventually they did have to put her with assisted living, or I should say assisted care.
But with a nurse?
Yes, with a full-time nurse. When she was in the car and they were moving and they had to move very fastly, they had to move very quickly, I mean, they had her in a long gown. And she got into the car. She was elderly. And I guess she had some kind of an itch or a scratch or something. She hiked that thing all the way above her waist. They're going down the freeway at about 50 miles an hour because they have all of this stuff, all of her stuff on the roof of the car. And here's an old lady with the windows open, and you can see for miles around as she's got the thing hiked over her waist, scratching and itching. It was absolutely disgusting. And yet, guess what? Here comes the truck driver, slows down. You talk about hard up. I mean, are men, are our truckers that hard up to look at some old lady who has some kind of a rash?
Well, I, you know, that sounds like that would be bizarre. I mean,
are you going to slow up and look at that?
Well, for the first couple of seconds, you probably wouldn't know what the hell it is you're looking at. You know?
Oh, so you don't know what a naked woman looks like?
Well, I sure as hell don't. I've never in my life seen an elderly woman in full view of the world pulling a freaking dress up and doing what you're talking about. I would feel sorry for her. I would feel, you know, who are the people that are the family members that will keep this woman from doing what she's doing? That would be my first thought. Let's take a phone call here. We have Erica on the Phil Hendry Show. You're on with Margaret Gray. Go ahead, please. Erica? Oh, wait a minute. Oh, that's not Erica. That is, I got a whole different caller here, man. Tammy, I'm sorry, Tammy. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, I'm here. You know, I'm a woman truck driver. You know, okay. What
yes,
would you
ma'am.
Guys
go
think if y'all see, you know, a trucker going down the road with a penis hanging out, would you look?
That never happened. That doesn't happen. Now let's stay in reality. If I'm going down the road and I'm with my son and listen, I'm sitting in the seat of my car, darling. I'm not hanging it out a window. I'm sitting on the seat of my car. The truck driver comes by, takes out whatever they have, binoculars or a telescope or whatever they use, because he's trying to get a good...
You think we have time for that?
You know full well these guys have got something up there. Don't they have some kind of...
I'm a truck driver. Hold up. No, we don't.
Well, you're a female. I'm talking about the men. They carry those little telescopes that you can pull out of your pocket.
How is the guy going to drive?
I'm friends with many men truck drivers. No, they really do not. If you're out there showing, they're going to look.
Right. They are going to look. And if they're going to look, they're going to try to get a good look. And that means they'll generally have those Nikon binoculars or some form of a miniature telescope.
So why would you be showing it, though? I mean, you wouldn't look?
Because I feel
a man showing a penis, you wouldn't look.
Well, let me ask you this. First of all, a man showing his penis means that he is mentally disturbed. I'm not trying to show anything. I'm trying to get some air up there. Because I'll be honest with you, you're a woman, and I'm a woman. Can I just talk honestly with you?
Yes.
I don't necessarily shave, okay? So it gets warm. And
can we not talk about that on live radio, please?
Who is speaking to me like that?
The host of the show, ma'am. That's who's speaking to you like that, and I don't want to hear that kind of conversation on live radio.
Well, she's turning. Are you there? Tammy,
yeah,
are you
I'm
there?
Here.
Is the caller there? Did you turn
yes,
your
I'm
radio
here.
Up? Did you turn your radio up? Because the host will go, they go bat crap crazy if you do that. And
all right, just talk to the lady.
So it gets very warm. And so I try to get some air blowing around up there. My son
with
doesn't
your son
look,
in the car,
he's been
you
told.
Said, right?
No, I've
so
said to my son,
son,
don't
in
you.
The car is what you say.
I'm saying my son does not look or he loses teeth. Now, I don't know how more clearly I can put it.
So, in other words...
So it's not good for a trucker to look, but it's okay for your son to be in the car if you're doing that.
Excuse me, I just said, no, my son may not look. If I see him turn to his left, even if he's looking at a house that's burning down and people throwing themselves through the windows, if he turns left and he gets a smile on his face, he loses... I'm telling you right now, he'll lose teeth.
So I'm thinking you're disturbed, not the truckers.
Oh, my God. I'm a woman, the same as you.
So
I talk about the same things.
But you know what? I
all
would
right.
not hike up nothing around my son.
Darling, I've told you a million times. I'll say it again. My son is not allowed to look.
Well, that seems like very a poor excuse. I mean, if you got your panties off and your skirt is hiked up.
Excuse me, Phil. I really am not comfortable talking
really
with you about
look.
It. I'm talking to the lady about it, Tammy. Yes, dear?
Every
what did you say?
Looks.
Every boy looks at his mother's trumpet?
Every boy is curious and is going to look, so it's okay for your son to be in a car, but
his
going by can't look.
You're telling me that your son's interested in your you-know-what? I call that
well, honey, I don't
run around
without no panties in front of my son.
But you're saying that if you did, it would be perfectly normal for your son to want to get a look.
I don't do it, so why would it be not normal to do that?
Darling, I'm saying it's very dangerous for you to think that way, because if you think like that, then you're going to say it's normal for your son to want to go ahead and take a shot.
Oh, come on!
I think you're really disturbed, not the truckers.
So I can tell you that as a woman, one woman to another, I'm disturbed by that because all I'm trying to say is that if you're driving a
woman
interstate to,
I wouldn't run around with no panties in front of my son.
I'm not running around. I'm sitting on the seat of my car, and I've told my son if I so much as see you look left, I will through your head.
Okay,
right
so
through
you're
your head.
You're bringing it to your son's attention. You have no panties on.
Yes, I am.
Okay,
I have
so
to let
that
him know.
Right there is disturbing.
Would you rather that I took my panties off and not said anything about it, until he turned, leered, and began to make a move.
You know, you're the kind of people that the police need to be on.
I agree.
We should not have...
Oh, you agree.
...driving around with your son with no panties on.
I absolutely agree with the caller.
I think, Phil, that your mind is in the gutter. I think the caller is... No, not you. Not you. I think Phil Hendry's mind is in the gutter. I think as a woman, as a fellow woman, I think you're leaving me... You're leaving me out in the desert for buzzard meat.
And that's where you should be.
Well, I...
Margaret, what you've been saying here is so outrageous. You know,
Thank you.
No, just let me say this, okay? Because you know what? I may not be a woman, but I am a father, and I can tell you what you're saying is the most outrageous thing I've ever heard in my life. And to say that you have every right to go down the road with no panties on, your son's going to lose teeth if he looks, and then truckers better not look. You know, you're one of these people who want to operate.
Would you ride down the street with your daughter in the vehicle with no underwear?
Are you asking Mr. Hendry that or me?
I'm asking. He would ride down the road with no underwear with his daughter in the vehicle.
No, for God's sake, no. First of all, my daughter would never, in her wildest imaginings, even do that. Secondly, I would order her out of the car.
Oh, I bet.
Oh, you know something, Margaret? You want to get a fist and lose some teeth?
How dare you?
No, no, I meant it, every word. Listen, I gotta go. I appreciate your call. Very, very good.
On the sexual offenders list, Margaret.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Tammy. World famous Phil Hendry Show, David G. Hall coming up.
Phil Hendry.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, and we're online at philhendryshow.com. We'd love for you to join us on our website. We have live streaming video of our show every night. And just so you know, if you joined us on Saturday nights for our special video cast and broadcast on Saturday nights, and you're a backstage pass holder, all of those video casts are going to be archived. All of that audio is going to be archived this week. So our Saturday night show, which came to an end last Saturday night, was the last Saturday night show that we did because, to be honest with you, six nights a week is killer. But we have saved all of those video casts, all of the Phil TV and HD for the last over a year, well over 50 shows that will be available for you, including the video, in our archives very, very shortly. We're excited about that. And just another added little special added bonus here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. I'm going to get on the line here with this David G. Hall, who is our vice president of syndication, a man who has been involved, obviously, in the business end of our radio show for a long time. But we also want to be talking to David here about some other things. We're going to talk to him about the television show that I've just been doing. And to that end, David, let me get you on the line here. David, how are you this evening?
Hey, I'm doing good, Phil, and we are very excited about the fact that you were on set with New Girl on Fox, and we'll look forward to seeing that when that comes out.
Now, I know that there were a couple of concerns that you had, and we were going to address those concerns here this evening, but one of them has to do with, and it seems silly, so I'll let you say it, but one of them has to do with going Hollywood on you, huh?
Yeah, I think it is a normal thing. I think it's a normal thing, Phil, for anybody to think that if you have a comrade, a colleague in the radio business who has decided he's going to pursue television acting as you have, we don't want you to get too far ahead of yourself. We don't want you to get a big head. I think the listeners want to be assured that you are going to be here doing your radio show regardless.
Well, that's my plan, absolutely.
Well, all right, it's your plan, and I believe you. And But when you talk, as you have been talking, I know you did some updates while you were doing the show, and you also took some nights off in order for you to complete this program. When you talk about the show and you posted some things on your website, we don't want you to start thinking that you're Mr. Hollywood, that's all, and that I think you appreciate that. And the listeners, I think, would be concerned. Understand that radio listeners, especially talk show listeners, are people that are fairly well divorced from these ideas of Hollywood and acting and TV. And most people that listen to talk radio are listening to talk radio to talk about politics or to talk about, you know, farming. There's a lot of our radio stations cover many of the farming areas. And especially the time of night that you're on, there's a lot of rural reporting, truckers, and again, the farming communities, ranching. When you start talking about Hollywood, you're leaving people in the dust. And so...
But all right, and I agree that I don't, in other words, I don't want to, I do not want to become, as you said, Mr. Hollywood. I don't want anybody to not think that I'm talking to them. But you asked me to come on the air.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You wanted me to talk about working on the show.
Oh, yeah, absolutely I did. Absolutely I did.
But all right, so you just want me to temper it.
Yeah, I want you to give us the inside scoop, give the audience what it's like to work on a TV show, and give everybody the day-to-day, what happens when you come on the onto the lot there, when you go into hair and makeup, I heard you say, and then you go and get something to eat, and then you start your day. We want to know about all of that. I'm hopeful that you won't go Mr. Hollywood. And Bud Dickman and I have at least, and of course we were talking to Sal Humphries about this, and he agreed. Bud, go ahead and play that sounder that we have.
Right here.
Okay, here, do you hear that, Phil?
That's the song, Hooray for Hollywood?
Yeah, that's Hooray for Hollywood. Now, what that song means, and the reason why we brought that on, is we don't want you to get so Mr. Hollywood that you start losing. So if you hear that music, you can tone it down, if you know what I mean.
All right, let me turn that down for a minute, will you, Bud?
Turn it off, Bud.
Okay, first of all, I don't know that I need that. In other words...
Well, if you don't need it, that's fine. You know?
Well, what I'm saying to you is this. I don't need music to remind me. Sounds like you're on a cordless phone.
I am, and I apologize, Phil. It's not a very good connection.
I don't need anybody to remind me that I'm getting to Hollywood.
Well, I think you do, and here's why I say that. People that get into that kind of a business that you got into, these are people that are not going to necessarily... These are people that are not going to necessarily, Phil... know that they're getting over the top a little bit, so that's why we wanted to bring that music on to remind you, because I don't have, you know, it may be something that you're not aware of.
I can assure you that I'm aware of it.
Well, fine. If you can assure me that you're aware of it, then we won't need to use the sounder. So, were you going to tell you were going to talk in this segment about it?
Yeah, and you were going to ask me some questions.
All right. Well, I want to ask you. Do you have a trailer? Do you have a dressing room?
I have there's a trailer. There's a dressing room.
What's in it?
Well, what's in it? I mean, there's a... you go in there, there's a TV set. Some of the...
Yeah, okay. See what you did there?
What did I do?
Oh, there's a TV set.
Did you ask me what was in it?
I asked you what's in it. You don't have to go into the TV set. Is there a toilet?
Yes, there's a toilet.
Is there a place to wash your hands? Is there something to sit on?
Yes.
Okay, that's all we need.
Oh, there's a TV set?
First of all, I didn't say it that way. Could you turn that off, Bud, please?
Turn it off, Bud.
I didn't say it like that.
Well, I know, but I'm just... You understand that we don't want you to...
Yeah, you don't want me to get too Hollywood. You asked me, do I have a trailer? Yeah.
Okay, I didn't ask you had a TV set in it. All right, when you get done in the trailer, now where do you go?
What do you mean when I get done in the trailer?
Well, what are you doing in there?
I'm sitting there. I guess I'm waiting for them to call me to hair and makeup. What did I do now?
Oh, you know, they're calling you to hair and makeup. Is that it? Is that what you do? Look at Phil, you're not Marilyn Monroe, okay? You understand that?
Yes, I understand.
All right, well, what do you mean they called you to hair and makeup? What do they do? I don't understand what that means.
They knock on the door and they say, Phil, could you come to hair and makeup?
Didn't say that, okay? Don't go ahead, they call me. And
by the way, David, that mimicking of me, you don't even sound like me.
You want to bet? Because when you say that, that's what you sound like to the audience.
You go, no, they call me.
All right, now once they call you to hair and makeup and you sit there in hair and makeup, what happens?
What do you mean, what happens? Turn the thing off?
Turn it off, buddy. He's not doing anything wrong.
There, just want to make sure.
Well, what happens when they call you to hair and makeup?
You go in there and you sit in a chair. And they ask you, how you doing and all this stuff, and they start applying the makeup.
Well, what kind of makeup do they apply?
Well, I mean, they'll touch up, do a little touch up, and sometimes what they're going to want to do is make sure. Why are you what are you playing the music now for?
Doing a little touch up.
But you know what? Get out of here, both of you guys.
Mr. Hall's going to be upset.
Get out of here. I can't even touch up. Okay, bang, there goes the Hollywood music and the thing with the TV. I had a good you can get David back on, but I'm not going to listen to him telling me. David.
Look, Phil, why are you hanging up on me?
Will you knock it off with that music?
I just want to make sure you're not getting too ahead of yourself and getting, Mr. Hollywood.
Yeah, I got all the Mr. Hollywood stuff. You asked me a question, I gave you the answers, okay? Touch up, whatever. I don't even want to talk about it. I don't even want to talk about it.
Oh, you don't want to talk about it. So don't you think the producers of that show would like you to promote it?
I said New Girl on Fox. That show, by the way, is doing very well. It doesn't need Phil Hendry to promote it. Thank you and good night.
Mr. Hall's going to call back me, Pierre.
I don't care. Keep him off the air. He's had his segment, okay? We did Hooray for Hollywood. And the New Girl on Fox show is a great show, and it's doing very well. It's the hottest comedy of the year, all this good stuff. And what else do you want me to tell you, man? They're nice people. Zoe Deschanel is a very, very nice person, very professional, very sweet. Everybody makes you feel like you're welcome, and everyone is a pro. And I worked with Lamorne Morris on all of my scenes. He's a great guy, a great actor, and he's been around a long time. These are all young people in their, late 20s, early 30s, but they're, they've put in a pretty fair number of years to get where they are. And it's a happy set. And when I say that, you work some places, people are unhappy. You work anywhere that you work, no matter what you do for a living. You want to work around people that kind of like being there? As opposed to walking into work every morning. You ever walk into work every morning, you see these people with a sour kisser? I guess that must be like working with me, huh?
Yeah, pretty much.
All right, well, I spoke too soon. But, I mean, you know what I mean. And I had a lot of fun. So I thank those guys very, very much.
What are you doing next?
I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing next, whatever I get hired to do next, okay? I'm a hired gun, man.
You're like a character actor, man, right?
A what?
You're like a character actor. You know, you just pop up whenever they hire you.
Yeah, that's it. I'm going to be a character actor. That's my goal. My goal is just to be a character actor, yeah. Just to do whatever they want me to do. I don't care.
But don't you want to have, be in a movie and everything?
I don't want to be the headliner. I don't need to be. I think it's a little late in my career now, man, to be thinking I'm going to be headlining any movies. All I care about is working, Jack. That's all I care about, doing the best I can, working, okay? Anyway, had a great time. Thank you very much. Thank you, David, for coming on here and reminding me not to go Hollywood. And I think it's an important thing, but I certainly don't need that music blasting in my ear.
Sorry.
All right, we'll take a break here. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here, and we'll be right back. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL, and we have our news and information hour coming up next hour as well.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
And welcome back. We've got Bob Bacon, who is in Florida right now. We want to get on the line with Bob. He is in the Phil Hendry Show News Helicopter. Bob, how are you tonight?
Well, Phil, I'm doing, I guess I was, to make a joke, I'm doing a lot better than Davy Jones, which is not a very good joke at all. Davy Jones, you know, lost his wife earlier today, fell from a heart attack. He was 66 years of age in Martin County. Davy Jones, a beloved of so many people, a member of the Bunkies for a number of years as their lead singer, and he was sort of the heartthrob of that group, was visiting a stable where he keeps a number of horses, horses that he enjoys, he and his wife, and apparently was feeling ill. It was at that time that members of the staff decided to call paramedics. The hospital dispatched an ambulance. The ambulance arrived. Mr. Jones was taken to the Martin Memorial Hospital. It was there that he passed away, and doctors informing family members. Quite a sad day here in the... By the way, I haven't heard that music. If I don't hear that music...
I'm sorry, we didn't have the music.
I don't recognize that. Could you start that over again, please? Because if I don't have my news music, I can't get this report out properly, all right? Now, I was working on a full head of steam, and you need to get the music up.
We need the music, bud.
Can't start the music, otherwise I'm starting. This is Bob Bakin reporting from Florida, Phil, where Davy Jones, 66, the lead singer of the teen rock group The Bunkies, was passed on of a heart attack. He was visiting his horses at a stable. Okay, there it is, yeah. And would you please remember to do that?
I'm sorry, Bob. It's just that you did very well at the beginning without the music.
Sometimes it happens. Sometimes I've had a lot of rest and I got a full head of steam up, but you know as well as I do that I must have that music in order to make myself clear, in order to sound like a human being and not something, not some kind of an ape that lives in the wild. You understand that the only thing standing between me, the only thing standing between me and becoming a Cro-Magnon without any ability at language is that music right there. Do you understand that?
Yes, I do.
All right, then don't ever let that music stop playing. Otherwise... Oh, did it on purpose, huh?
No, hey, bud, don't fool around with it.
I just want to see if what he was saying is true.
Let me tell you something. I'll fly to Los Angeles. I'll find you, bud. I'll turn the music off in my headphones because usually I have it on an iPod at all times. I'll go Cro-Magnon on you, and they won't be able to begin to even think about where the DNA is, let alone identifying anything else. You see what I mean? So they would only know that a human was killed here on that day. I'm Bob Bakin, and reporting.
Well, I guess that told you, bud, huh?
What are you talking about? That guy's half Batcraft.
But he said, man, if you ever got a hand on you, they wouldn't be able to find no DNA.
What do you mean they won't find no DNA?
Just what I'm saying to you is, the next time we have Bob Bakin on, you've got to make sure that his music's playing. All right. Now, I didn't even get near the amount of reporting there that I wanted. So I want you to reset the reset the interview, okay?
Wait a minute. He already did.
Reset the interview. Don't give me a hard time about it. I want to get Bob back on the line. I want to make sure this time that his music is playing, because according to him, unless he has that music playing, he cannot make himself understood. So do you understand me?
All I'm trying to say...
Do you understand me that Bob Bakian's got to have his eyewitness news stinger? Do you understand?
Yes, sir, I do.
All right, then do that. Get him on the line right now.
Get him on here, the phone number.
I know the phone number. I know how to dial a phone.
All right, world-famous Phil Hendry show here.
Yeah, Bob. Hi. Yeah, Bud Dickman.
Will you be quiet? Is he ready?
Yeah, he's standing by.
All right, it's time now to get Bob Bakin up on the line here on the world-famous Phil Hendry show. I'm sorry, Bob, that we were not able to get the full report out there. We do want to hear from Bob Bakin in Martin County, Florida. Go ahead, Bob.
And a very, very pleasant good evening to you, Phil, and to everybody across the United States. A very sad day indeed as Davy Jones, as you know, passed on, age 66. Davy Jones, the lead singer of the Bunkies, a hit teen pop rock group that had a number of great hits. I'm a Believer, The Last Train to Clarksburg, or Clark Martin, I forget.
Clarksville.
That's what she said. I'm sorry, that's a little bit of a joke.
Hold on, Bob. I don't think joking on the occasion...
Phil, I understand. Get that music.
Bud.
Get the music.
Bud.
Get the music.
All right. I apologize.
Look, hold on for a minute. Why make a joke about this? Davy Jones was a popular performer, a beloved performer, members of my generation. You know, he was a teen idol, and that's okay, too. You know?
Well, I understand that, Phil, but why can't I have a couple of kicks? You know, why can't I show personality? You know, in my time, in my... Oh, so turn the music down, huh?
Yeah, you want some personality? I'll give you some.
I'm going to tell you, Dickman, I know where you live, I know what you look like, I know what that plate in your head looks like, and there isn't any place you can go, no place you can hide, no place that you can run. Boy, I swear to God.
Bud, don't screw around with him, he sounds serious.
Yeah, no guy that sounds pro-magnon going to hurt me.
In any event, sir, what were you asking?
I was asking for you to have a little more respect, that's all. You know, it seems to me I've been asking people that all night. Have more respect. Have some manners. I get tired of asking you guys that.
Phil, this is Bob Baker reporting, and you never have to ask me to have manners. I can tell you that I'm a very mannered guy.
Yeah, okay, then why is it that when you started out with the report on Davy Jones...
I just felt like it was time for me, Bob Baker, to have my own personality. Bob Baker reporting.
What a weird ass. God.
Yeah, man. Sound like he got to add up music to everything.
I wonder if he's got to have it playing if he goes to the bathroom number two.
Oh, well, you know, Bud, maybe what I'll have you do is hide out in a stall and find out. What a weird ass.
Who, me?
Yes, you.
What do we have to do when he's on number two?
You know, of all the things... Yeah, Bob?
As a matter of fact, yes, I do. As Bob Baker reporting, I've got to go to the bathroom.
Wait a minute. Keep the mic on it. Get out of here.
All right, Bob, thanks a lot for your report. And, again, Davy Jones, 66. Man, I can't believe the guy was 66.
Who's Davy Jones, anyway?
Davy Jones was a member of... Didn't you hear his report?
Well, who can understand what Bakey is saying? It's all garbled up. Sound Cro-Magnon, even though he's had his music.
Yeah, I gotta say, that's true.
All right, Davy Jones was... Sounds Cro-Magnon, even... Anyway... Davy Jones was in a group called the Monkees, and to be honest with you, even though I was very young myself, I was like 14, I was too cool to like the Monkees. I think any boy, it was a girl thing, and it was a TV show, and they were like these four cute guys that were like the Beatles, and it turned out that they were also very talented musicians, and they went on and actually, you know, recorded some pretty decent music. All right, we'll be right back here with our News and Information Hour, coming up the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
I'm on Bob Baker. That's not my music, but it'll do.
Phil Hendry. Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that has something to say. And we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. And guess what? I almost forgot, but I didn't. We have a winner. Gary Fox is the winner of our free backstage pass to the Phil Hendry Show website for the month of March. Gary, you... one of the people that liked our Facebook page, that is our Facebook fan page, Gary, you're the winner of a free BSP. So we're going to set you up with an account, and it'll be good from, today forward. We'll get in touch with you as the...
We'll get in touch with you, Gary, as the evening progresses.
But anyway, congratulations, Gary, winning our free BSP backstage pass for the month of March. If you want to get into the running, all you have to do is... Go to our Facebook fan page. That's Phil Hendry Fans, P-H-A-N-S. And once you do that, you like our fan page. If you've already done that, you can go to the Phil Hendry Show Twitter account. Now, that's Phil Hendry Show. And you hashtag Phil Hendry. And when you do that, you get into the running as well. And we give away a free backstage pass every month. That is a free month of the Phil Hendry Show by way of a backstage pass. And congratulations, Gary. We hope you enjoy it. All right, well, we're just looking at some news that we had here tonight. Google's privacy policy is going to be changing. What else is happening here, man?
That was pretty interesting, Mitt Romney.
This is all jazz. You know, this. Let me give you the whole... Here's my take on the Republican. And finally, people are starting to get with this a little bit. But it just seems to me that the Republicans, for a party that is convinced Obama sucks, which I think there's a number of people that are convinced Obama sucks. That's fine. Unfortunately, being convinced that Obama sucks does not necessarily get you elected to anything. Because people will say the following thing. All right, we agree with you. Obama sucks. Now, what are you going to do that's better than what Obama did? Okay? And that's where the problem comes.
Why?
Well, because if you look at these Republicans... For a president that is not doing too hot, according to them, let's go back to Carter. If you want to go back to the last Democratic president that, in pretty much everybody's opinion, sucked, it was Jimmy Carter. And I'm not trying to put him down. It's been said of Jimmy Carter, he's one of the greatest ex-presidents we've ever had. I would go even further. I would say that he had his moments as a president. They were not, unfortunately, they didn't outweigh the moments where he did not exactly shine. He wasn't exactly what we needed at that time, although I'll tell you this about Jimmy Carter. He was a pretty good cushion between the Nixon years and the Morning in America Reagan years. There had to be something to sort of distance us from what was at that time a very disappointing experience with Nixon and not too much of a glowing report card for Gerald Ford. He was a good man. President Ford stepped into a tough situation. And there's ways for you. You're going to find things wrong with every president. You can vilify every president. You can make him into the worst guy. One of the things that I got a problem with, in this country, if you don't like a guy, if you don't like a president, it's not enough just to say, well, I disagree with him. No, we got to turn him into the worst evil that has ever visited the planet Earth. That's why these people that don't like Obama, so many of them have got no credibility with me, because they're over the top and they're full of crap and they're talking about him like he's a commie. And, just a lot of us. I'm going to tell you something right now. Anybody that uses the word communist, uses it. Understand? And you're listening to a guy here right now, folks, who may very well vote for Romney. I will vote for Romney. I wouldn't vote for Santorum if he was gold-plated. I wouldn't vote for Gingrich if he was the only guy running. But I'll tell you this. I'll vote for Obama before I vote for Gingrich or Santorum, two imbeciles. Now, Romney at least lives on the planet Earth. You see, he's not living up on the moon base where there's all manner of ideologic happiness going on. Everybody up there is agreed when it comes to health care, and everybody's agreed, about abortion, and everybody's living in kind of a conservative Tea Party paradise up there where nobody disagrees with any of that stuff, and they're all just... Well, guess what? The planet doesn't work like that down here on Earth. Down here on Earth... You got to get along to get along, What did the man say?
Got to go along, get along.
Go along. Thank you, bud. You got to go along to get along, man. Truer words were never spoken.
What's that mean, go along, get along?
It means you got to get along.
Yeah, but we even go along.
But if you go.
If you got to get along, in other words, to get along with people, you got to go along sometimes with people.
Yeah, you got to get along with them.
Yeah, I know, but... You get along, or where do you go along?
Are you guys trying to make this tougher than it is? To get along with someone, sometimes you got to go along with them. In other words, what that old saying is trying to say is that you got to pick your battles. There are times where you'll just, okay, I'll go with you on this one, because this is not the battle that we necessarily have to fight to the death on. But with conservatives, I notice everything is a fight to the death. Same thing with progressives. Same with these stupid-ass liberals. But everything is a fight to the death. There's not one damn thing they want to give on. Anyway, the point that I'm trying to make here...
That's a phrase you use quite a bit. I'd like to see you not use it so much.
Yeah, I was writing down phrases you use that probably shouldn't use.
You're doing what?
Writing down phrases... To the point I'm trying to make, and then one you'd say is, at the end of the day...
Yeah, but we're trying to not do that.
Wait a minute. What are you two guys doing anyway?
Mr. Hall asked us to write down phrases you use too much.
Yeah, we'll use at the end of the day and go along, get along.
What do you mean go along, get along? I never use the term go... Is that David?
Yeah.
Hey, David, I never use the term go along to get along.
I asked these guys to write down stuff you say too much. Now, last hour... You were talking about Hollywood and, oh, well, you know, I got a trailer and they touch up my makeup. You know, you're going way over the edge, so we got to pull you back. And
I didn't go over the edge on anything last hour. You were flipping out because I said, what, I had a TV in the trailer?
Boy, I'll tell you, if we had that music, I'd have to play it again. What is that?
Well, I ain't superstitious.
This is Hooray for Hollywood.
No, ain't. That's Howlin' Wolf.
Will you get out of here with Howlin' Wolf?
Oh.
Anyway, what I want these guys to do, Howlin' Wolf, how'd we get him?
That's good as it gets.
That ain't as good as it gets. That's not what I call Hooray for Hollywood. Look, Phil, we don't want you to use phrases like at the end of the day and as good as it gets and go along to get along or hop along or get along, little doggy, or whatever it was you were saying. That's why I had the guys write that down. Otherwise, we'll have to play Howlin' Wolf. And that...
Thank you.
Yep.
Look at Bud, I'll hang up on him if I want to. Don't get all panicky, okay? Every time I hang up on him, you're all, ooh, you little, little,
I'm going to hear about it later on.
Oh, you don't have to hear about anything. I'll deal with it. Where the hell were we anyway? Oh, yeah. So, the Jimmy Carter, here was a guy, he was a lousy president, everybody knew it, and along comes Ronald Reagan. Now, yeah, Reagan got a challenge from George Bush. And I forget who else, but by 1980, Ronald Reagan was the man. He had swept through the primaries. He was kicking ass, taking names. And the Democrats, well, the Democrats had no choice but to support President Carter. And they, you know, did the best they could with what they could. And he lost. And he lost big. The Republicans rolled into that election, though, with Ronald Reagan, you know, the Prince of Darkness. And I say that with all due respect. In other words, he was the bad boy on the block, man. The Republicans got no such candidate. Why? Well, they don't have anybody that's got any real compelling vision the way Reagan did. But more importantly, they don't agree about it on anything. So if you're convinced that you've got a president that's got his head up his ass, and he's wrong on this, and he's wrong on that, and he's wrong on all kinds of things, and you guys are the conservatives or the whatever the hell you call yourselves, and you got the right idea, well, then, man, you'd be united on your message. These Republicans, they ain't united on anything. They haven't got any answers. If you think a guy is so bad that you are the obvious alternative to what he's doing because what he's doing is so stupid and anybody could see it, even a blind man could see it, and all we got to do is get him out of there and get a good old-fashioned Republican in there. Well, what the hell is the vision then, man? What's the message here? It's 58 different ways to sunset. Nobody can figure it out. They don't really like this guy Romney. They like Santorum. Next thing you know, Santorum's on his way back. The social conservative issues that so many of these ideologues will flock to the polls and vote on. And by the time the general election rolls around and everybody is convinced that they've got a really motivated block of voters and a base of voters, and they get their ass handed to them by the opposing candidate because there's one thing that they forgot all about, and that was the independent voter, the mainstream American, people who are not that ideologically motivated, but people who are, you know, as they say, it's the bread and butter issues. Well, you ain't going to get anybody elected on this crap that Santorum's talking. Now, I know he started getting into some economic stuff, right?
Yeah, yes, I mean, he was talking on the economic stuff yesterday after those primaries.
Yeah, he wasn't just talking about abortion.
All right, well, that's fine. You want to know why? It's because somebody finally slapped some sense in him and said, will you get off of that and start getting where, you know, where people have they have a real stake in what it is you're saying, economic issues? You and your freaking gays in the military. Boy, that guy, when he opened his yap and started in on that, it was like, I said, are you kidding me? Are you serious? I won't vote for the guy. I don't trust him. I won't vote for him. I'm not, if you want to call me the ultimate independent, that's me. I wouldn't vote for that guy in a million years, and I won't vote for that jackass Gingrich either. I would vote for Romney, and I'll tell you why. He may not be sexy and exciting and all these stupid-ass things that people want a guy. I think that guy is a pragmatic guy. I think he's a practical guy. I don't think he's married to a political philosophy like it's his damn religion. People don't like his religion. Being a Mormon? Well, then why would you want him to be a religious conservative? That is, every freaking thing that those guys say, you got to take with you to the grave, man. You can't change your mind on anything. But if the Republicans are so stupid they're going to put that guy Santorum in there, I'll go back, I'll vote for Obama again. I got no problem with that at all.
Yeah, but why would you vote for Romney?
Because if he ain't running for president, how the hell am I going to vote for him?
You could write him in.
Oh, get out of here. I'm not going to write the guy in. Man, I want to vote for a guy that's got a chance at winning, okay? Has a guy that's been a write-in candidate ever won?
What about Mickey Mouse?
Mickey Mouse never won.
Oh, yeah, he said win.
Yeah.
Alfred E. Newman.
He didn't win either. No write-ins ever won. All right, we're coming back on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. This is our news and information hour. And we'll get back with a little bit more about the election and some other news. This Ohio shooting suspect has confessed. Gold edges up. New round of immigration battles in the South. Oh, all kind. And a gay woman wants a priest relieved of his duties after he refused to give her communion. The world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
You're kidding me, Cindy Crawford? Yeah, she'd laugh in your face.
Yeah, I'm not talking about whether Cindy Crawford would laugh in my face. Welcome back to the program. Our number 877-876-PHIL. It's our news and information hour. Wait, hold on, bud. I'll explain it, okay?
Yeah, that's ridiculous, though.
Hold on. I'll explain it. So, Cindy Crawford comes on the tube, and I say to these guys, Cindy Crawford, you know, I never did get the whole Cindy Crawford thing. I don't think she's that hot.
Yeah, man, are you going to turn that down, man?
Hold on for a minute, man. What do you mean am I going to turn that down? That's not the issue. You guys are, you're ridiculous.
Yeah, but what we're seeing is, you say she's not beautiful? Like, yeah, right. Like, she would even, you're, she'd have nothing to do with you?
Hey, bud, are you listening to me? You see, these women are not real. You and I and Robert and all the guys out there, we all sit and we watch our TVs or we look at a magazine and we see these women that they just toss in front of us every day. There's Cindy Crawford one day and there was the Naomi Campbell thing and then there was the Tyra Banks thing and then there was, you know, the Kate Moss thing and the Kelly Rutherford thing or whoever the hell they are. All of these different models, right?
Who's Kelly Rutherford?
I don't know. I just saw her name on TV. But, you know, they're not real. But what we're supposed to do is sit here as the average guy and consume this beauty. So we're not typical men in the sense that we have to impress them. We don't have to do anything. They got to impress us. Do you understand?
What are you talking about, man? How are they going to impress us? Yeah, I'd give my eye teeth to go out with one of those girls.
You can't go out with a white one, though.
Yes, I can. Get
out. Come on, bud, you jackass. Look, you're not here to date Cindy Crawford. Cindy Crawford isn't that kind of a woman. To the average guy, Cindy Crawford is being presented to us. Yes, I know that women are primarily the customers when it comes to beauty products, when it comes to fashion, but Cindy Crawford is a spokesmodel and a spokeswoman for a variety of products, some of which may be intended for men. And the fact is, she's not just sitting there on TV all beautiful because other women want to look at her. So she's she is a personality, she's a public face, an image that men are intended to be drawn to. So we're not here trying to impress her. She's trying to impress us. So when I say they're not real, what I'm saying is we look at them differently. I do. I don't look at them like potential, like I got to impress Valerie Bertinelli. What are you, nuts? I'm here, and I look up on my TV, I see Cindy Crawford. I see her all the time. I've seen Cindy Crawford so much that she has no effect on me at all. She looks like Cindy Crawford, and she's never been all that fantastically beautiful to me.
See, that's the part I think you're nuts.
Yeah, me too.
Well, you can think I'm nuts, but I'm being honest. I'm being honest, and most guys are the same way. These are not women that we're supposed to impress like girlfriends. They're just pictures in a magazine. And Cindy Crawford ain't nothing special. Never has been, never will be.
That's on account of you like women with big butts.
Well, there's that, you know, yeah. But even Kim Kardashian's kind of funky, if you want to get right down to it.
What's funky about her?
I don't know, she's just funky.
You just don't like black people.
What do you mean I don't like... What do you mean I don't like black people?
She ain't black.
I thought she was.
She's not black. You and that... who else was talking about that?
I forget. So I think it was Bobby Doodles. She wanted to say, hey, I bet you Kim Kardashian been kicked out of a few nightclubs on account of she the wrong race.
That's hysterical. Kim Kardashian's been kept out of nightclubs because she's the wrong race. Oh, man.
I mean, everybody in her family?
Look, dude, they're Armenians or something, man. What do you mean wrong race? They're not black. They're white.
Yeah, they don't look white.
Yeah, they look white. I mean, what the hell does white look like anyway, okay? They're, I guess, technically, they're white people. Now, look. That's the same thing with Kim Kardashian, okay? You want to talk about, or her sisters, Kourtney or Khloe or Khloe or Clacky or whatever the hell her name is, or Klaatu. You know, you can look at them the same way. You don't have to sit here and go, ooh, I hope I can impress. What? You can impress Kim Kardashian for what, man? She don't even know you exist. Well, the fact is, she's not supposed to know we exist. We are supposed to know that she exists. And then we're supposed to grade her. That's what they want us to do. Now, I know that she's got her makeup and this and, you know, fashion that, and women follow her or don't. I think there's a lot of women that are hostile to Kim Kardashian because of the fur thing. But guys are meant to, I guess, you know, rate her. And Kim Kardashian, other than the fact she's got that great ass, ain't much to write home about.
Man, are you out of your mind, dude? What are you talking about?
But I'm just telling you, she's not, man. Not in my book. That's just all there is to it. They want my opinion. They want your opinion. They want everybody's opinion.
What do you call a beautiful woman then?
I told you guys, we've already went through this, man. I gotta go through it again. All right, we're gonna come back here and try to get into some substantial conversation here. Not necessarily about that. What is this new round of immigration battles in the South, bud?
I don't know. They might be getting ready to get rid of slavery.
Yeah, come on. What? Take it easy. All right, we're going to talk about that. New round of immigration battles in the South. Wow. Many cast vote with November in mind. Other cast. Well, I don't know whether or not we have any economic news. We'll try to get to that for you, though. I saw something here. Apple is unveiling a new Apple TV alongside the iPad 3. Now, this is interesting news because this is the kind of consumer information and technological information that you guys need. Apple is unveiling a new Apple TV. What do you think that is? That's an internet TV. It's already begun. The world famous Phil Hendry Show will be right back. Oh,
man. Phil Hendry. Bill Hendry Show.
All right, world famous Phil Hendry Show. Here's something that we have been trying to, in our own dumb way, make you aware of. And that is, as we push ahead into this new century, and certainly the Phil Hendry Show is invested in internet video streaming, as well as our internet audio streaming, as well as our podcasts and so forth. Is the fact that internet radio and internet television is a reality. Wireless internet radio, wireless internet television. Now, or I shouldn't say wireless. I shouldn't include that because I really don't know what I'm talking about there. But Apple Television, Apple, I should say, is going to unveil a TV this year, a new Apple TV, along with a new version of their iPad, the iPad 3. This TV, a 42-inch television set, priced at around $1,500. So that's a pretty fat price. And you know it's going to come down like all the other prices of all the other products do. It sports a 1080p LED flat panel display. It works with iPhone and iPad, functioning as remote controls. It connects to Apple's iCloud, iTunes, and App Store marketplaces, and has an internet operating system. You know what that means. That means you are looking at Phil TV if you're a Backstage Pass customer, one of our Backstage Pass family members. Now you're looking at us on a 42-inch and any other streaming video that you care to watch live or recorded or on demand is now on your TV, and you're not having to do any kind of a fancy schmancy hookup with your desktop computer or anything else. This is a internet, for all intents and purposes, internet television, and you're using your iPad or your iPhone as a remote control. Now, a few days after this was announced, the Globe and Mail reported Canadian carriers Rogers Communications and Bell Canada are vying to partner with Apple if and when the rumored television set is launched north of the border. Canada's two largest telecommunications companies reportedly have the new Apple TV in their labs for testing right now. That's Rogers Communications and Bell Canada. Rogers Communications, man, they are every. When you're in Toronto, they're everywhere. I mean, they're the ballpark there where the Blue Jays play is called the Rogers Centre. And if you turn your iPhone on anywhere in downtown Toronto, you got the Rogers something or 3G network. And then, of course, Bell Canada, which is a very, very old company north of the border. The Globe and Mail report added some details to what Apple may be building into its highly anticipated TV set. The new Apple will integrate Siri, which is the little talking system, which debuted with the iPhone 4S last year. Is that what I have? I got my new iPhone here.
You got the one where you can get the talk in it.
Yeah, have you tried that out?
Yeah, I got what I can do is I can talk for my messages. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, here, I'll show you.
Oh, I know what it is, bud. Let Robert do it.
He doesn't know what he's doing.
Do it to me. Hi, my name is Robert. And Bud Dickman's a douchebag. Here, I'm going to send it to you.
Okay.
You guys are idiots.
Yeah, I got it. Here it is. Hi, my name is Robert, and Bud's a douchebag.
Well, isn't that fantastic? Give me that back. So, let me do it. Hi, my name is Phil, and Bud's a douchebag. All right, so, yeah, I have that on my iPhone, but I do not have Siri, and I don't think I want it, but then I probably will with enough time passing. We all finally break down and want those really cool things. But because I'm like everybody else, I want to make fun of it and say that I don't need it and that I don't want it and I will never have it. And then next year, I will buy it. Now, that means that users would be able to control the next generation Apple TV via voice, according to the newspaper, and also, intriguingly, through hand gestures.
What do you mean hand gestures?
It means if you could... I know the hand gesture. Hey, you know, bang, man. Lay that bird on that thing. Boom. What does that mean?
Channel one.
Right. Through hand gestures, dig that. Well, you'll be able to control it via voice, through hand gestures, and which indicate that Apple could be building new Kinect-type technology for the televisions. Maybe this is something for people with, certain physical disabilities.
Man, they ain't going to help Stephen Hawking, man, unless you can... use a flavor straw.
Yeah, they're going to do that.
What do you mean a flavor straw? Anyway, while Apple itself has characteristically kept its future television plans tightly under wraps, evidence is certainly piling up that something is in the offing. So, look for the new Apple Internet television. They're not calling it that, but it is the new Apple TV with the Internet operating system. It will be you can use it with your iPhone or your iPad using those two as remotes. It will have incorporated in it the Siri system. You'll be able possibly, I can't believe this hand gesture thing, like boom, flip the bird and you're, off and running. But anyway, you may be able to use hand gestures It's wild, man. And like a lot of things, there may be some stuff that's out there rumored that isn't true. It's a 42-inch, high def, around $1,500 is what they're saying right now. I doubt very seriously if they're going to... I don't know how many they'll move at that price. The thing about Apple is people want to buy that garbage, and I say garbage with all due respect, because we all know what happened when those first iPads came out. I mean, people were pissed. People were pissed off at those first iPads because, first of all, nobody really knew what it was. No one knew how to use it. People thought that it was a people thought it was like a MacBook, like it was a computer. It's not exactly like that. So I don't think anybody knew how to use it. The first time I saw the iPad demonstrated on TV, it was some dumbass. I mean, I say that with all respect, but it was literally some dumbass who... get the right pictures up, will you, bud? You're pissing me off, man. Yeah.
Dude.
Some dumbass who was talking about how, isn't this neat? Look at all the pictures that you can keep of your grandkids. That was what the guy's talking about. It's taken about 3 or 4 years, whenever the iPad first came out, it's taken that long for me to finally get interested in buying one because I see practical applications with my phone that no one ever could possibly communicate to me with strictly using the iPad. Why is that? Because my phone was a phone.
What do you mean?
In other words, the iPhone, the first thing I knew I could use it for was making phone calls. It's a phone. The iPad had no such advantage. No one could point to the iPad and say, well, here is a function that you need, Phil, that you require, something that it does, maybe that your computer does, something that I could have identified with. I think that that's why a lot of people had a problem with the iPad at first. But now I see the value of owning an iPad because it's like, you know, a larger version of my phone, and I do everything. When I'm not near a computer, I do everything on my iPhone. Now, this TV is a different ball game altogether. This is using an internet operating system with a big screen TV with all the bells and whistles that you've come to love from Apple. And now you are accessing the World Wide Web via internet television using the internet TV, streaming video on the internet for your entertainment and your home entertainment system in your living room, using it not on a desktop, not as you would a computer. Now this has become a part of your evening viewing, if you will. I think that that's fantastic, man, because, like I said, you can kick in your living room and watch us do our show here from the El Pacifico, and you're no longer, like, parked on your ass looking at your iPad or looking at your laptop or looking at your computer. Man, you're in your living room or wherever you want to set this up, and you're watching us like you watch any other TV show, you know?
Yeah, but then, Danny, you got to see, like, you've got to get makeup and everything or let's see your nose hairs.
Yeah.
I got to get makeup or they're going to see my nose hairs. Well, guess what? This will be the first time primetime entertainment nose hairs. Yes! You guys are weird. All right, we'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Actually, we got a little time, so let me move over here. This is some really fantastic news. Syrian President Bashar al-Assad apparently has killed over 7,500 of his own people. All right.
What a douche.
You know, here's an example. I don't get it. Do you? I sure don't get it. I don't understand why I'm supposed to get really jazzed about Egypt, and I'm supposed to get really jazzed about Tunisia, and I'm supposed to get super jazzed about Iran when the vote went the way of the green wave, and you know they were trying to have a revolution there. But Syria, I'm supposed to not say anything about. Can't talk about it. Nobody in America is talking about it. Michael Moore ain't talking about it. Nobody that talked about Egypt as being such a hot thing and a wonderful thing, nobody there is talking about it. I don't see freaking Anderson Cooper going over there and almost getting his ass beat in. I don't see anybody, you know, this is a, but I predicted it, man. I told you, and you know I said this. I said when they get around to Syria, it's going to be a different ballgame because those people are Nazis. I said it. So there, you as Baathists, they're even worse than Iraq. Iraq was up under Saddam Hussein. Iraq compared to Syria was like comparing Ceylon or Sri Lanka to India. You know, it was like here is the sort of the redheaded stepchild, and here's the real deal. Here is the miniature version, and here is the monster version. It, you know, Iraq under Saddam Hussein was kind of a klutzy, clunky, stupid, silly thing that, yeah, butchered up a lot of people. That's what dictators do. But the fact is, Saddam Hussein would never, ever have been able to affect what this guy Assad's doing, this mass murder of his own people, keeping the international community at bay, at arm's length, keeping everybody off his neck, keeping the Arab League. He's told that Arab League, boy, you guys are fantastic down there. What do you do for an encore, man? You guys can't get anything together. You guys can't order the morning paper.
What's the Arab League?
That's the countries. That's like a United Nations of the Arab states. And they've been wagging their finger in this guy's face and trying to tell him, no, 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 no. He's telling them to take it, stick it right back up their towel where they found it, man.
Man, the people are wearing a towel. What about the ones with the napkin?
What do you mean the ones with the napkin?
Yeah, there's the Arabs that wear a towel, and then they have guys that wear napkins.
Yeah, like Palestinians.
You know, you guys are really racist, man.
How's that racist?
What do you mean, wearing a towel or the guys that wear napkins?
There was that one guy that wore a napkin.
I don't know who you're talking about.
Arafat.
Arafat? He's dead. Arafat's dead.
Yeah, but who's running Palestine now?
There's nobody running Palestine now. There's a bunch of jackasses like they've always had. They've got all kinds of screwballs running the show down there. Those poor people, I feel so bad for those Palestinian people. You want to cry. They got nobody running the show there. There isn't any sanity there. They got a bunch of... It's a joke. It's a freaking joke. But this Syria, UN political chief Lynn Pascoe said on Tuesday she has credible reports from Syria of more than 100 civilians being killed every day. Are you ready for that? 100 people getting cut down every day in Syria. And what is the world doing about it? Nothing. Not a peep. I remember when that Egypt thing was going down. Oh, my God. People wouldn't shut up about it. They didn't want to shut up about this great thing, the people of Egypt, and the this and the that, and the this and the that, and the this and the that. But now you have a bona fide douchebag like Assad, an enemy of the world, a terrorist state, a state that's been on the list of terrorist nations for God as long as I've been alive, it seems. Constantly pointed out by the international community as the birthplace of scumbags left and right, a place that harbors scumbags. As a matter of fact, and I ain't kidding you, there's a Nazi war criminal they've been looking for since World War II living in Syria. I ain't kidding you.
Who?
I forget the guy's name, but he's some cat, I swear to God, some guy that ran a freaking concentration camp, and the guy's still alive down in Syria. And they can't get near him. And so everybody knew that what this was, and now comes the inevitable. I mean, you knew that with this Arab Spring happening, it was going to finally find its way to Syria. And I told you that these people are Nazis in Syria, that they are not going to be easy to dislodge, and that they have no problem, no qualms at all about butchering up their own people if that's what it takes, because that's their orientation. That's the kind of animals they are. That's what they are. That's the political orientation of that part of the world by these dictators. Carve up your own people. Just cut them down. That's the fate of countries that have been colonized and then set free. What's the first thing that happens? A whole bunch of guys start to amass power and start killing people, man.
Yeah, go down there with an A-bomb right after we use Iran.
What do you mean use Iran?
I figure we kill everybody in Iran, take it over, then put an A-bomb on Syria.
Sure, bud, that's a great plan. Why don't you call up President Obama and have him do that?
I will. You don't think I will, but I will.
No, I believe you will.
I believe you will. Go ahead, do it. We'll be right back in the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here with our final segment. Don't forget 877-876-PHIL and our website, philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. Get a backstage pass, then buy the new Apple TV, then watch us on the big screen.
Truth,
we'll be right back.
Is our bitch, the Phil Hendry Show. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
And it's the world-famous Phil Henry Show every night here till 1 o'clock on the West Coast. 4 a.m. on the East Coast is our final segment. So it's really great to be back live on the radio again, man.
Yeah, you thought you were going to take off and do TV the rest of your life.
No, I'm not going to take off and do TV for the rest of my life. I can tell you this, that I enjoy doing it, but it's nice to be back on the radio. It's I don't know what it is. It's just one of those things, you know. But I said to our audience during our pre-show, and I don't know, did I mention it here on the broadcast? I don't know if I did or not, but I did a couple of so-called stunts. They're not really stunts, but if you are a guy like Phil Henry who doesn't do stunts and they ask you to fall, say, on a mat, they won't ask you. They'll ask you, do you want to do it or not? We'll get a stunt double. And
we're going to find a stunt double for you.
Yeah.
Well, it turns out I said I'd do it, okay?
Yeah, good thing.
Yeah, if they would fight a stump double for you, they'd have to look in the Fat Man's Club.
I'm going to belt somebody, you know that? The Fat Man's Club, where's that?
Yeah, they don't got one.
Yeah, they have to make one.
Anyway, so I fell Monday, and I fell on a mat. Ah, shoot. And I'm telling you, I hit my shoulder. Now, I'd had a problem with my shoulder all last week. I don't know what it was. It started it started at night. It might have been the way I was sleeping on my arm or something. But on Monday, I fell about three or four times on this mat that they wanted me to fall on. And by yesterday, I had a pain in my shoulder that is excruciating. And right now, it's just killing me, man.
You gotta go to the doctor.
Well, I'll tell you what, if it's like this by the end of the week, I will definitely go to the doctor. But I'm thinking that I can maybe just loosen it up or something, man. I don't know what, but it's just excruciatingly painful. It's almost like a damn knife is going in there. All right. Now that you know all about my health problems.
Yeah, everybody's all excited about that.
Well, take it easy, bud. You know, one of the things about doing a show like this is you got to let people in on some of this stuff, huh? All right. By the way, following the show, go to our website, philhenryshow.com. You'll see a show log posted for this evening's show. And that will be your guide as to what transpired on the program. And when you go into our archives, many of the archived shows have show logs, and we're in the process of putting logs to each and every one of them. And when you go to our website as well and you use a keyword, you can see we have a search engine on our website. I don't know if those of you who have Phil TV in HD, you probably already are aware of it. But with that search feature, if you keyword something, many times you find exactly what it is you're looking for. So I would definitely recommend using that. A Wall Street rally that few expected has carried the Dow Jones Index above 13,000 for the first time in nearly 4 years, leading some to predict an extended bull run that could lift stocks to record levels. Stocks have been driven higher by signs of improving economy, including declining unemployment, rising consumer confidence, and strong corporate earnings. The sheer steepness of the rise, the Dow closed at 13,005, up about 6.5% since January the 1st, while the tech-heavy NASDAQ soared 15%, has triggered warnings that a correction may be on the way. Rising oil prices and global political tensions could also put an early end to Wall Street's ongoing New Year's party. But for now, the bulls are in command, and they're building their case for Dow 14,000 and beyond. Let's not get ahead of ourselves here, people. I think there's a good chance that by the end of this year, the Dow will break its all-time high, said Jeremy Siegel. Really? So he's saying it's going to go above 14,000 and beyond. It has been above 14,000, I thought.
Yeah, but just go even higher, like maybe to 20,000 or something.
I doubt it. Anyway, Jeremy Siegel says that optimism is driven partly by market history, which suggests that stocks are overdue for a lengthy
advance.
All right, so that must mean that my retirement account in the very, very easy, very steady, yet easy, yet capable hands of B of A and Merrill Lynch, you guys must be just kicking ass with that, man. So, all right, I'm looking forward to a big, fat earnings report on my retirement account coming very, very shortly. All right, that's great. World-famous Phil Henry Show is produced by Dan Northcraft as well as Phil Henry. And, of course, don't forget, we're online at philhenryshow.com. Do join us, won't you, for our video casts each and every night on philhenryshow.com. We'll see you tonight.
Phil Henry.